This is the Fight Fan with your host, Pete Hoffman. You could always follow me at Hoff, WFAN on TikTok, at the Hoff, WFAN, or at the Fight Fan, WFAN on Twitter. Everywhere else is at the, well, everywhere else is the Fight Fan, there you go, with Pete Hoffman on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, WFAN.com, and the Odyssey app. You could also catch me this Sunday morning, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on WFAN. Do a four-hour show every other Sunday. So this is my weekend. Let's go. Talk plenty of Mets, Yankees, maybe a little bit of Rangers that they missed out on the Stanley Cup Finals. If you want to talk about that still, if people are still obsessed with the Rangers, we'll talk about that. And also the UFC or MMA or whatever else you want to talk about. I have a four-hour show, and I'm ready to talk to you on the Fan this Sunday, this Father's Day Sunday, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on the Fan. Now, quickly, before I get into the UFC card that's going on Saturday, and there's also a PFL card on tonight. Yes, tonight. Duh. And there was issues with the Jeremy Stephens weight. I got to be honest. I look at these weigh-ins. It's shaky. There's always something weird going on. First of all, the weight cuts. And you know, you talk to these fighters, so a lot of the fighters have no sympathy for anybody who has a tough weight cut and misses weight. There's a lot of fighters that are just like, hey, that's part of the job. I could do it. You could do it. Other people are like, you know, it's tough. You know, you want to go in there. You want to be able to retain weight properly. You want to be able to you know, not totally wear out your body. You want to do it right, but sometimes the body doesn't react the way that you want it to, and the cut, even though you might have it down to a science, doesn't work out this time. So there's two sides to it every time. There's arguments all the time, and then when it comes down to it, you step on the scale, and you see Jeremy Stephens yesterday go in there and you know, had to take off his shorts, shaved. I don't know if he was shaved before going into the fight, if that was his plan, but I didn't care enough to look at this to see if there was an issue, if he literally did it before he stepped on the scale. But regardless, he was buzzed down to, you know, just bare skin, took his pants, had to take his shorts off because clearly he was not going to hit that 156 otherwise, and was able to get it. But it looked like he was stepping on the scale weird. Now, listen, some people are like, oh, well, if you step on the scale any which way, it's going to be the same. And other people say, well, you know, you could step on it and manipulate the scale by like a half an ounce or whatever the case is. Regardless, we've seen Khabib, you know, someone barely even look him over, you know, barely even the scale even settle, and they give them thumbs up and move on, where other people, they over-criticize and over-check and make sure that it's perfect, you know, by the you know, and they have to go back and recut. We've seen it so many different ways. So, hello, Charles Oliveira. So we've seen it all. Regardless, Jeremy had a problem, or was close to it, but he made weight. Good for him. PFL fights tonight. Should be a good card. It's on ESPN+. So I'm always up, you know, any new audience, ESPN Plus, it's not a bad thing. Definitely check it out. And then the bare knuckle fighting news. So they've been doing this now, and they've been doing a really good job of it. Like, you have to at least respect what BKFC is doing. It's turning into I don't want to say it's the Bellator version of boxing, but BKFC has literally now signed some huge headlining stars that may not be the best fighter, but will give you some star power. You go from Paige VanZant, you know, Jimmy Rivera, you know, former UFC fighter, 20 in a row, bantamweight fighter, you know, he's fighting next week, June 24th. You have, who was it? Chad Mendez is in BKFC. You know, except Paige VanZant, Rachel Ostovich, Austin Lane, Jeremy Lane? Well, you know, let me bang, bro. He was in there. Paul Malignaggi. You go down a list of all these fighters they've brought in, and they make another headspin. They make another headline. Whether you like it or not, this gentleman, if you know, if that's the proper term to use for him, this athlete, this fighter, this, you know, he is turned into a fighter, professional fighter. That's what he does. So Greg Hardy has signed to the BKFC, and a lot of people don't like that smoke, don't like that heat, don't like the controversy because of his history prior. Now, we saw him in the MMA world. He just is not prepared for that level of fighting. He tried it out, and I'm sure he's still training MMA, but he is just not going to sustain that sort of level of career in the UFC, maybe some other promotions, but definitely not in the UFC because the level of fighters he's going up against, they're just too good. You know, the Volkov fight was the most interesting fight in the world because he allowed him to stay in that fight for three rounds. Head scratcher to me. Head scratcher that Greg Hardy was able to last a full fight with Volkov. That being said, it didn't end well for him in the UFC. Now, could he go into the Bellator world? Could he go into some of these other, you know, MMA worlds, PFL maybe? You know, they had the island fights. That's where Chase Sherman was fighting at him for a while. Yeah, he could hang out over there. He could hang out in some of those different promotions. Instead, he chooses BKFC. It's a different style. It's a different approach. For Greg Hardy to break down the combat side of things, the fighter in him, I mean, it looks like a better promotion. The fact that he doesn't have to worry about any sort of takedown, any sort of, you know, any sort of entanglement. It's just all about the striking. It's not about worried about being pressed against the corner and worried about someone kneeing you and trying to take a leg and trying to take it to the ground. It's literally like, can I punch harder than you? And Greg Hardy clearly can punch hard. He's clearly a gifted, I hate to say that. He's got heavy fists. Let's put it that way. I don't want to say gifted striker. That said, like, I don't know Greg Hardy from a hole in the wall. I know what he's done. And that makes me not want to like him. That makes me very upset about the history of Greg Hardy. I don't know if he's changed his life at all. I hope he has. We've all made mistakes. But however, the mistake he made is putting his hands on someone that didn't deserve it. Even if you know, there's nothing she could have done to deserve it. Putting his hands on her ever. Okay, that's the first thing. But on top of that, though, you have somebody who is that huge, who is, you know, goes up against people that are, you know, bigger than him in a football setting, in a MMA setting. You know, he is not one that really can get a pass at his past because of the situation he put himself in. He has to go above and beyond, and he's going to have to prove that every day for quite some time. And I don't think many people want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I've heard from trainers how wonderful he is in the ring, in the gym, his mindset, his focus, he's laser focused. That is all good to be focused in the gym, but I don't know if outside, anything's changed. You just don't know. I hope it has. For a lot of people's sake, I hope it has. But Greg Hardy, for now, does not get a pass from me. He just doesn't. You don't hit women. You don't hit kids. You don't hit people that are warranted. And personally speaking, you know, I'm one of these guys who I am all about MMA and all about training and all about being protective of yourself. You know, and defending yourself and being able to defend other people too. And I love watching fights, but I don't need to see a street brawl. I don't need to hear about how, you know, there was a fight that was bad at home and there was a brawl at home or something like that because, you know, couldn't control your temper or, you know, got into an argument with the girlfriend or the wife, whatever it is, and just lost it and took it out. I don't need to hear any of that stuff. To me, I don't want to say I want to ignore it, but that to me, you don't put your hands on anybody who is not level competition in legal competition. So that's all I'm gonna say about that. And the rest of it, you know, I think most people are humane enough to recognize the logistics of when it's okay to put your hands on somebody when it's not. That's the problem. I think we all understand it. So to sit there and talk about Greg Hardy, I never really get into it. Never really dive into the fact that my views on him. I try to just talk about him as a fighter. Because I feel like that's part of what I'm supposed to do, is you're supposed to just break down fights. Listen, if you went to the back history of all of these fighters, especially boxing world, I mean, look at Mike Tyson. There's so many mistakes being made, and it's all athletes too. It's not just combat sports people. You know, the NFL, again, Greg Hardy came from the NFL. That's where the incident occurred, when he was under the NFL, reign. I mean, look at this Deshaun Watson issue too. I mean, there's so many different things. Like, so I can't sit there, and if I want to dive in to one athlete and talk about one isolated situation, it opens the door to every single athlete that we discuss. And how are their lives perfect? Is my life perfect? No, it's not. Have we done something wrong in our life? Probably, sure. Is we done something that's could have been maybe illegal or gotten serious trouble? Yeah, probably. I think we've all made stupid mistakes. I think we've all done something stupid where we're like, oh, I got away with one. You know, I'm not saying that we've all put, but the thing is, I'm not saying we all put our hands on somebody like that. And then to that scenario, you are a huge human being who is in the NFL. You should never touch a woman or a child like that. But anyway, okay, I'm moving on. That being said, okay, so they signed him, and good for them. That's star power, and he's gonna draw interest, that's for sure. And it's almost like the Howard Stern scenario, where people used to listen to Howard Stern because they wanted to see what he was gonna say next, even if they didn't like him. This is Greg Hardy. They want to see if he gets knocked out or if he gets knocked out. You know, if he knocks someone out or if he gets knocked out. That's really what they want to see. Why? Because it's Greg Hardy, and they want to see him either on his back or. I guess people want to see him succeed too. I don't know. But people will watch him. That's why Dana White took a risk on him. It's reality. You know, it might not be the best one, but that's the truth. All right. Let's get to this UFC card. So it is UFC. And by the way, I think I'm going to start doing reviews again post fight. Because I feel like I do these shows on Friday. I do a little bit of like a review, but by then we're talking almost 5 days have gone by. I want to do the post fight. I think I gotta start doing that again, just to be able to clear my mind of how good these fights are. Because last week was crazy. You had the Yuri fight, Prokoshka, who is just amazing. I knew that he was gonna give Glover some issues, but Glover performed pretty well too, and it was back and forth. It was a phenomenal fight, and Yuri at the end just was able to find a way to submit Glover Teixeira, which was crazy. But it was a very exciting fight, and job well done by both fighters. You know, you got to tip your cap to both. Yuri ended up winning that fight. There's got to be a winner or loser, unless it's a draw, but you usually got to be a winner or loser, and that was fun. That was a great fight, and that was just one of the best unexpected fights. Sometimes there's like overhype to a fight. There was no hype to that fight. There was very minimal hype. You know, they're in Singapore. Even though it was, 10 o'clock at night, my time, Eastern Coast time, it felt like it was like a, could have been a, just a fight night type of thing. Feel the way the buildup wasn't as big. But that was one of the most underrated performances of a light heavyweight fight of all time for a pay-per-view. And it didn't get much love. But that just shows how great of a fight it was. It was incredible. Not expecting that at all. And And if you haven't watched it, I definitely highly recommend you guys checking out Yuri versus Glover. Now, there was also the Wally Zhang Joanna fight, which ended in a sick knockout. And then Joanna ended up retiring, which was unexpected to, I think, most people. And then you had the Valentina Shevchenko fight, which first time she actually has been tested. There was that headbutt that basically closed Santos's eyes and I think really helped Valentina. But I do think that Valentina would have found a way to win that fight regardless, but that definitely helped her secure the victory. And that was the first real challenge for Valentina. And I think she's going to reevaluate. Listen, there was times with GSP and Anderson Silva on their heyday. They were tested once in a while, and they had to reevaluate and still dominated the next fight. So don't make it sound like the next fight's going to be terrible for Valentina Shevchenko. But just definitely was an interesting one for sure. All right, listen. We have this card is pretty good. This fight night is pretty solid. You open up. What time is that, too? It's 4 o'clock tomorrow, so just set your clocks. 4 o'clock, 7 p.m., main event. Kyle Daukaus leads off on the middleweights versus Roman Dulce. Kyle Daukaus, you remember his brother in the heavyweight division, too, Chris. Both good fighters, you know, a lot of potential. Still got a ways to climb. We know, you know, Chris last time got knocked out. Was it Chris Daukaus? What is it? It's got to be Chris, right? I say Chris like I'm confident in that, but you never know. Yeah, no, it's Chris. But Chris was very aware that, you know, he had the fact that he was back on another headlining fight. He knows the power he has, but needed to be able to, you know, represent so he can get another opportunity because they don't come that often. Well, Kyle's on the other end. He's leading off a fight night, but still, good fighter, middleweight fighter, 11-2. We'll see how he does. You got the next fight, Phil Hawes versus Deron Wynn. Great fight. Deron Wynn, you know, he's 33 years old. He's so small, but he's got that power. And Hawes, on the other hand, has been overhyped for some time and continues to, like, lose some of these crazy fights. He did beat Kyle Daukaus, but lost to Chris Curtis, if you recall, back at MSG last year, which was sick. And Phil Hawes, if you recall, was it one of the, I forget which, was it a, was he part of Tough, or was he looking for a fight, the Contender Series, something like that, and he couldn't make the cut? But either way, Phil Hawes, very overhyped, been overhyped for a while, so we'll see how that goes. The Deron Wynn, he's been up and down, but we'll see how that one goes. Again, small guy, packs a punch. We'll see if he can. His biggest thing is conditioning, too, so we'll see. Bantamweight, Eddie Wineland versus Cody Stamann. This is a very underrated card. You know, this is the first three fights. It's very solid first three fights. Maria Oliveira versus Gloria DiPaolo. Okay. Ricardo Ramos versus Danny Chavez. That's okay. That's a decent featherweight fight. Court McGee versus Jeremiah Wells. Interesting. Court McGee's one of the vets. Jazza Davicius. I'm not even going to try. Natalia Silva. And then you got Adrian Yanez versus Tony Kelly. That is a fantastic fight. That's the main prelim fight, bantamweight fight. Adrian Yanez has been fantastic. Tony Kelly has been really good recently, too. He's been the older of the two. 5'8", 70 inches, while Yanez, 5'6", 70 inches. Did Yanez lose his last fight? Who did he lose to? Now, he beat Davy Grant, beat Costa, beat Gustavo Lopez. I feel like he lost to somebody, but I can't remember who it was. And Kelly was the one last time he was in Andrew Lee's corner, and they said some things that weren't very appropriate. He did beat Randy Costa last time out, December versus it was a sick KO. It was a great two rounds, that's for sure. So that'll be good. That's a good fight. They don't like each other, so that's going to even add more to it. You have in the main card, which is a huge main card, you have Julian Marquez versus Gregory Rodriguez. Good fight, Marquez. Hasn't fought in a while, but should be interesting to see him back in the cage. He was 9-2 versus Gregory Rodriguez, who is, he always feels like he's older, but not as old, but has a bigger reach than Julian, so that'd be fun. Joaquin Buckley versus Albert Derive. Joaquin Buckley's a fun fighter to watch. 28, tries to be a knockout specialist, so we'll see how that goes. Tim Means versus Kevin Holland. This is going to be a great fight. Tim Means, Dirty Bird. He is up there in age, but again, just one of the vets. Then you got Kevin Holland, who just is, he's a talker, he's a trash talker. Can he get under the skin of Tim Means? That'll be the thing. And he's looking for a knockout always. He's looking for the highlight reel. You got Donald Cerrone versus Joe Lozon as the co-main event. I feel like this is like close to like a retirement fight. Like, I don't know if I think they'll give Cerrone a pay-per-view to like retire if they know it's coming. But Lozon, this might be the tail end of his career. You know, 38, 39 years old, respectively. They've been doing it for quite some time. Lozon's an OG for the UFC. And then you got Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett. And this is just a nasty fight. Like, Emmett scares me. You know, remember, he beat Shane Burgos with a bad ACL. He's had some scary knockouts over the years. But Calvin Kattar is one of the best boxers in the featherweight division, and that's where it's going to come down to. Kattar is going to look to outstrike, to just keep his distance, but point fight this out. But while doing so, he can create a lot of damage. That's for sure. Meanwhile, Emmett, who hasn't finished a fight, now remember, he also came off of injury, but hasn't finished a fight since 2019, but he KO'd Masar Bektik, KO'd Michael Johnson, did lose to Jeremy Stephens, but I feel like there was an issue with that. There was like an illegal strike that someone said, and that's why that looks so nasty. KO'd Ricardo Lamos, that's the last knockout he's had. Yeah. So he had a nice streak of KOs. He's got nasty strikes. Going against, again, Calvin Kattar, who is a nasty stand-up fighter. That's going to be a stand-up fight. And again, Emmett actually has a disadvantage in this because he's shorter. He's got a shorter reach and shorter height. He's got a Kattar special written all over it because he should be able to control the fight, should be able to control the distance. And for Emmett to be successful, he's going to really have to find a way to engage and get past the jabs and strikes of Kattar. I don't know if he's going to be able to pull that off. But it's one punch with Emmett. That's really what it comes down to. If he can land a strike flush, anybody can go down. So that's the card. That's the fight. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate it. I'm on Sunday morning, like I said, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. on WFAN. Happy Father's Day to everybody. Do the Rico Bronya podcast with Evan Roberts twice a week after every series ends. And then I'm always on Tiki and Tierney Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. as I produce their show. Thank you for following. Thank you for listening. You can follow me on all my social media, which I plugged in the beginning. And I will see you guys next week. You're listening to The Fight Fan with Pete Hoffman.